Very good morning to you, Namibia. Very good morning to you, my dear listener. It's a Monday morning, the first week of the new month, the month of June. So we are saying hello, to June. And, yeah, right in the middle of the month, in the middle of the year. So thanks for joining us. And, yeah, and, how was your weekend? I think, on this side of the world, it has been a little bit busy because of the Oshakati, Totem, Expo. It's quite busy. And, if you're around, Ondangwa, Oshakati and Ongwediva, please, the number of traffic, it's quite a lot of, movement. Make sure that you drive safely. Just to protect the lives of your own life and the life of others as well. So, yeah, it's quite a bit busy, quite a lot of traffic. So make sure that you're driving more carefully, around this town. So how has been your weekend? So I hope it has been a wonderful weekend for you and ready, to face the new month of June. So welcome to Eagle FM, and this is Unpacking the Day. My name is Mike Oshovili, and you are tuned in your everyday show, Unpacking the Day, the show where we dive deep into the stories, events, and issues that shape our world. This show is all about breaking down the headlines, exploring the context behind the news, and understanding how it impacts our life, whether it is the latest development in politics, business, culture, or social issues. We're here to make sense of it all together. So, but it's not just about us talking. It's also about you. Share your thoughts, opinions, and perspectives on the topics that matter most to you. So this is your space, to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So, and if you're just joining us, welcome to Eagle FM and Unpacking the Day. So today is the 2nd of June, and what happened on this day in Africa? Not really, there hasn't much, nothing really much happened, nothing of significant that had happened on this day in Africa. But we can, in 1999, South Africa, on June 2nd, 1999, South Africa participated in the country's second democratic election since the end of apartheid. The African National Congress, secured, a decisive victory, leading to Thabo Mbeki, succeeding, Nelson Mandela as the president. So, and on this day, what is our thought for the day? Monday, June the 2nd, our thought for the day. It's a good one. I love this. Stealing the drum, stealing the village drum. So stealing the village drum is easy, but finding a place to beat it peacefully is the problem. Stealing the village drum is easy, but finding a place to beat it peacefully is the problem. So the problem conveys the idea that while committing a wrongful act may be straightforward, dealing with the consequences is often challenging. The proverb underscores that unethical actions often lead to complications such as guilt, loss of reputation, or even legal consequences, making the initial act not worth the trouble. So this proverb rooted in African wisdom serves as a reminder of the importance of integrity and the potential pitfall of unethical actions. So stealing the village drama is easy, but finding a place to beat it peacefully is the problem. So, it's our thought for the day today, and I hope it helps you to guide your day on the decision that you make throughout the day. So welcome to Eagle FM and welcome to Unpacking the Day, coming to you live from the Ondangwa studio. So, and as usual, every Monday from around quarter to eight, we cross over to Windhoek for our F&B segment with our guests, normally from F&B Namibia. So, and around 8 o'clock, we will be then cross back to Ondangwa studio and continue as usual. So around 7:45, we will then go to Windhoek for that important F&B segment as usual. So make sure that you stay tuned for that as well until we come back again for Unpacking the Day. So, but in the meantime, so wherever you find yourself, so getting in the office or, you know, or wherever you are, so Eagle FM is exactly with you. All what you need to do is just download an Eagle FM app, a mobile app, so that you can be able to connect to the news, to your favorite shows, and also to so much more features that you find on Eagle FM app. But you can also listen to us on our website, www.eaglefmnamibia.com. So make sure that, you know, you're up to date, or you are listening to Eagle FM wherever you are. So, and also today is a Monday, and if you want to stay in the know with news on business, news on economic news, and also policy news and other social and political news, so you can grab your digital copy of the Villager every Monday, Wednesday and Friday. So, and all you need to do is just to subscribe. What you need to do actually is just send a WhatsApp message with your name and email at 081-241-44, 081-241-44. So do that right now so that you can be in time actually to get your Monday's one. So once it's get out. So, and if you're a business person, you just want to maybe advertise your business, or you just want to promote your event, could be a church event, political event, cultural event, or traditional events. So you can do that, and because we make it quite easier for you, than ever to grow your business or to promote your event. Because our complimentary apps, Imba and Eagle FM app, so are perfect, really perfect for boosting your product or your event or your services to a wide range of people in Namibia. So, and don't forget our social media platforms. They are some of the most active, in the country, giving you the perfect space to elevate your brand or your product or your service to make it more visible to so many people in the country. So I want you to do, just contact our 083 and our contact number, 083-288-400. 083-288-400. So yeah, when we come back, so when we get back actually from this commercial, we will switch on to Windhoek for the F&B segment. Stay tuned.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna I matina omjo chikao shafa sana na longeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana iye moyao ota ingongoti samwene. Anangeshefa ya Namibia, ombitombwa na wa olonjika. Zeithani na omayakuro ni randitomwa yoe, yongeshefa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nena. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa zetu. Moambo, dengira selma, konarahi katuimu. Datu ndatu, heari hamano tano, oniyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the only person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
You're now tuned into the F&B segment, proudly brought to you by F&B Namibia.
A very good morning to all the Eagle FM listeners. You are now tuned in to another edition of the F&B segment, proudly brought to you by F&B Namibia. Today, I am joined by Theo. Theo, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
How are you doing this morning?
The morning is lovely. How is it with you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Welcome to another edition of the F&B segment. So, let's get right into it. Give us a brief intro of who you are, what you do, and we'll take it from there.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. My name is Theo Hidulika. I'm employed at FNB Namibia as a fraud analyst, where we assist our clients with various activities or various cases, as well as just banking in general. So FNB, Bank of the People,
yes.
We're always available and we're always here for you.
So as a fraud analyst, what exactly does that entail?
All right. My job entails assisting assessment, as well as short investigation. What we mean by this is we are the first contact for our clients that are being defrauded, scammed, knowingly, unknowingly.
Mm-hmm.
So in my particular role, what I do is we see what happened, what was compromised, how can we stop that, where the funds went or what was taken, how we can recover that. So it's a whole process that I cannot go into detail, but we are the first point of contact when our clients need assistance. So we are the guys that look after them and make sure that they are protected. So that's basically a short version of what I do.
So when a customer calls a fraud line, there's a chance they'll be talking to you.
Yes.
And that fraud line, can you just give the number for the listeners?
All right. So our number is 061-299-2222. That is FNB's official contact center number.
Mm-hmm.
So you can call that anytime. We are open from 8 to 10 on weekends and 7 to 10 on weekdays. Well, we're open on a public holiday as well.
And
Sunday. So it's
anytime
we're available. Yes.
Yes. So, let's get into, bank fraud. What exactly is bank fraud?
All right. So the short version of it, it's basically an attempt or successful attempt to take funds from the bank and its client unlawfully. Unauthorized. So this can come in many forms. Scammers are always busy. They are always busy coming up with new tactics, new programs to deceive you. The most common one is an impersonator.
Yeah.
You get a call, you want something, and you divulge your personal information. That is how they get access to your account. And most of the time, our clients are not aware of this. And it's such a big issue in the country right now that our client needs to be vigilant, especially with the impersonator calls. They will call with the story, with something that they are making up, and you as the client, you will believe. So it's very important that you stay focused, you stay alert, because they'll catch you at the most unexpected time.
Yeah.
And by the time you realize what happened, it might be too late. It might be costly as well. So to the listeners, to our clients at large,
mm-hmm.
be vigilant at all time. Call us on our official numbers. Do not clean colonics. Do not take part in these investment schemes.
Yeah.
Because these guys come up with different tactics to compromise and take your hard-earned funds.
Yeah, and I'm actually glad you're here, someone from the fraud line, because we've heard that people also call customers saying that, for example, now impersonating that, hi, I'm Theo from the F&B Fraud Center. I need so-and-so. So please just emphasize to the listeners some of the things that F&B would never call a client to request.
All right. So one thing that our clients in the nation at large need to take into consideration is that your bank will never call you from a cell phone number.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing.
Mm-hmm.
We don't call our clients after hours. Furthermore, the bank will never ask your personal banking information. This includes your card numbers, your card PIN, your account numbers, your passwords, anything related to your banking. The bank will never ask you for your personal information, as that is your information and only you should know it.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever a client gets a call, we are calling from ABCD. We have picked up ABCD. Can you kindly provide us your card information? You
yeah.
already picked it up that that is a scammer. That is somebody that's trying to have access, unlawful access to your account.
Mm-hmm.
So F&B will never ask you your card information. F&B will never ask you your usernames, your passwords, your PINs, your personal banking information. That
yeah.
is sensitive information that only you should know.
Yeah.
So we will never, never, ever do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And well, one of our listeners messaged us over the weekend saying that she fell victim to a quote-unquote investment scheme, which is how she was defrauded of her money. So for the listeners, what are some other signs that a scam might be taking place, whether that's over the phone, online, through text message or anything like that? What are some things people should look out for?
All right. The most easiest one is the emails.
Mm-hmm.
If you get a link,
mm-hmm.
look at the email address. What type of email is this? Does it look legitimate?
Yeah.
Search the company online. Is it a legitimate company?
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, look at what type of information are these people going to ask you?
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, they will say you need to make an investment for you to get a larger investment. That is already something which is suspicious. Or you need to pay a certain amount for you to get a payout.
Yeah.
So be very vigilant on that. The calls that comes in, if your gut feeling is telling you that no, something is wrong here, hang up, call us on the right channels.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, if this person is asking you too many information and they are being aggressive or they are trying to demand, no, we need your card information. No, we need your PIN too for this to go through.
Yeah.
Then that is a scam. So your gut feelings will always tell you what's happening,
mm-hmm.
and you should always act on it. And if you do become now a casualty in that, the
mm-hmm.
first thing you need to do is contact us immediately.
Mm-hmm.
You can also use your digital tools on your app or online banking to cancel your cards if they are compromised, but contact us immediately so that we can assist you in securing your funds, securing your account, and see what transpired and how we can assist you further. But your gut feeling is very important. Pick up on the small keys. The tone in the person that's calling, the mm-hmm. number, what type of information are they asking?
Mm-hmm.
Are they aggressive? You know, so be very vigilant. It's the small things that will tell you that this is a scam.
Yes, most definitely. So now if I'm a client, I notice that the scam is taking place, or I notice that I have been scammed already. Are you able to walk us through some of the steps, in the procedure of reporting such an incident? Like, do I have to, I don't know, maybe submit my ID number? Do I have to physically go to the bank and so on? What does that recovery process look like?
All right. So if you suspect of being scammed or you're scammed, the first thing that you need to do is act.
Mm-hmm.
Act immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Contact your bank on the line that I provided. I'll provide it again. 061-299-22.
Mm-hmm.
Report this incident. If you have access to your online banking or app blocked, your cards, everything that you might think was compromised, it's better to block.
Yeah.
And also then change your passwords. Change your passwords to your online banking. Change your passwords to your cell phone banking,
mm-hmm.
your e-wallets. Change them immediately. But the first thing you need to do is act and call the contact center. We are always available.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happens from there is an internal process. But usually what we will do is we will investigate. We have dedicated team, our forensics team, our arrest team that will take over.
Mm-hmm.
And we also need your part. What transpired? When did it transpire? Who called you? Which number called you? Did you save this number? What did you provide?
Mm-hmm.
Every piece of information is key for us to be able to assist you at a faster rate and accurate rate. So, yeah. Keep all records of the communication between you and this individual,
mm-hmm.
but trust your instincts. If it sounds wrong, it's mostly wrong.
Yeah.
It's not worth saying that you won $1,000 and then you lose $10,000 in the process. So be vigilant.
Most definitely.
Yes.
So, you know, with the banking online, it's very convenient, something that a lot of us have now come accustomed to. But with that convenience comes now the risk element. What are some safety tips you can share when it comes to online banking in particular? How do people protect themselves when it comes to online banking and transactions?
All right. Online banking is our way of giving you access to your account mm-hmm. without you needing to visit one of our branches.
Mm-hmm.
FNB is so innovative and so updated that we have world-class systems with world-class defensive mechanism in place. But you as a client, what can you do to protect yourself further? Unique passwords.
Mm-hmm.
Create passwords that only you know, with special characters, numbers, capital letters, and so forth.
Yeah. If your name is Theo, don't make your password
Theo1.
Yes,
don't make Theo1. Yes, exactly. You can make it Eagle FM, the Namibian, and 525. You know, something that cannot be easily guessed. You should also have two-factor authorization. This is usually for your cards.
Mm-hmm.
It's also available on our digital platform. What this means is every time you try to make an online purchase or every time an online purchase is attempted on your account,
mm-hmm.
you will get a notification that you must approve it. So that is very, 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 very good. Secondly, avoid using public Wi-Fis. Avoid downloading softwares that can give access, remote access to your phone.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us, what we don't know is that there are certain apps that can give access to your phone. It's like a back key into your phone, which has your banking application on. So that can also be a risk. Do not use your online banking on your colleague's computer, on your friend's computer, because computer saves. And you can save your password.
Exactly.
So the small steps, the small things that you do in every day will protect you.
Mm-hmm.
So don't share your passwords. Be alert. Keep your information safe. And yeah, try not to use multiple devices at one time because you never know who has access to your device. Most of the time, it's the people that might be close to you, might be people that you are not aware of.
Yeah.
But it's up to you to protect yourself. And it's the small steps that will help you always.
Most definitely. Theo, is there any last message you'd like to give to the listeners before we let you go this morning? And please share the contact number one last time as well.
All right. To our listeners and our clients, it's very important that you stay vigilant, stay awake.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't sound right, it's not right. Is it too good to be true? It's not true. Always contact the bank when you feel something suspicious is going on. Always mm-hmm. contact the bank when you are unsure. We are always available to help you. Stay alert. Be careful where you place your phones, your cards, especially in the public domain. And be safe, guys. It's getting out of hand. And we are here to protect you. But we need you guys to also look after yourself. The small steps that I just gave, it's very important to you. And like I said, if you are feeling that something is wrong, call the contact center, 061-299-2222. We are always available to assist you anytime, any day. That is why FNB is saying, how can we help you?
Exactly, exactly. Theo, thank you very much for your time today. And this has been another edition of the FNB segment, proudly brought to you by FNB Namibia. And we will see you again next week, Monday, same time, same place.
This has been the F&B segment, proudly brought to you by F&B Namibia. Catch the F&B segment every Monday from 7:45.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Simon, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna imatina omjo. Chikao shafa sana nana longeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongoti samwene.
Need lightning fast internet? Paratus has you covered. The network Namibia relies on. Whether for business or pleasure, Paratus' cutting-edge technology ensures both reliable and speedy internet connectivity. We exist to serve your needs through our high-quality network and pride ourselves in offering client service excellence. Connect to Paratus today. Visit us online at paratus.africa/Namibia or call us on 083-300-1000.
Well, a very good morning to you if you're just joining us, and welcome back to Unpacking the Day. We just crossed back to Ondangwa, to Ondangwa studio from Windhoek after that F&B segment from Windhoek from my colleague HD in Windhoek. And Mr. Theo. So yes, apparently, if it sounds too good to be true, it's probably not true. So I think that's one thing that probably we should, you know, always be cautious about when it's coming to a fraudulent activity that has become more quite common, that is happening quite a lot in not only Namibia, it's actually everywhere in the world. So just that be cautious, be more, you know, vigilant, as the politician would like to say, be vigilant. Yeah. So thank you guys for that information. It's quite really important. Yeah. So we continue. So welcome back to your favorite station. And if you're just joining us, good morning. Good morning to you. You are on the right station. This is Eagle FM, and I'm your host, Mike Oshavili, on Unpacking the Day. So this morning, what are we going to do? We are going to look at a story from today's edition of the Villager. It's one of the story from the today's edition of the Villager. And please, I'm asking you to subscribe to the Villager. All what you need to do is just send a WhatsApp message. That's all what you need. Send a WhatsApp message. And this is for free. It's for free, guys. Yeah? Send up a WhatsApp message, to 41 44. 08-200-41-44. And then every Monday, every Wednesday, you will be receiving a free digital copy. You don't even need to go and get it somewhere, maybe at the shop or somewhere, you know, where you need to use your money for transport. No, send directly to you. When you wake up in the morning on Monday or Wednesday or Thursday, it's right there in your hands. All right. So subscribe. So today we're looking in then at one of the stories, from the today's edition. This is a story by Dwight Lynch. The story is entitled "Crop Processing: A Hit and Miss in a State-Run Project." So that's the story. So when you have your go through that as well in more details, we're looking at it from maybe a different perspective. We digest it a little bit, go deeper into some of the aspects that are actually coming out of the story, just to see what is happening in terms of agro processing in Namibia. So, but stay tuned, and we definitely know what this story is all about. It is a story that strikes at the heart of Namibia's development aspiration, definitely. It is a story of ambitious dreams, taxpayers' money, and the sobering reality. And this is the most important, the sobering reality of what happened when a well-intentioned project meet the harsh reality of poor management and oversight of those projects. So, and basically that's what he's going to look at. Okay. So, and let me put you right into the experience of what the parliamentary, committee have experienced. So let me set a stage for you. So now you are driving through a rural Namibia. Yeah? And you come across what was. So, all right. Okay. So just something, you know, a bit of technical things that sometimes we need to deal with it. So just hold on that. Okay. That is sorted out. So, all right. So now, so, you know, the saying that say, you know, the rubber meets the road. So, here's where now the rubber meets the road. So now when the parliament committee went out to inspect these projects, the projects that were now being supervised, or implemented by NIDA, projects funded by your money, by my tax money, and, you know, so, according to the article by Dwight, you know, the finding was deeply troubling. So what the committee actually found was deeply troubling. All right, and we're going to look at some of those. One, now let me get you into this again. Okay, I always want you to be part of what is that happening? What happened? I want to set, imagine that you are a member of parliament, okay? Of a member of this committee. So now, as I said, imagine being a parliamentary committee. You are now a parliamentary committee member, traveling hundreds of kilometers to inspect a government project, only to find that nobody from now, the implementing agency, bothered to show up. So now, that's exactly what happened during the recent visit. You know, those recent visit across the across Oshana, Karas, Ochodonjupa, Kavango West, and Zabezi regions. So those are regions. So they show up at all these regions. And the implementing agency haven't showed up. So I think about this for a moment, you know. You know, so, okay, one thing you have to know, these are not surprise visits like those the ministers are doing, like the minister Sangwasa and Levendao have done at one point so far. So that this is not a surprise visit. They are official parliamentary oversight mission. All known that this is going to happen. So yet, committee members found themselves having to seek information from what they diplomatically describe as volunteers or people with questionable association with the projects. Now, what does this say? This tells us really something fundamental about how these projects are being managed, or rather, how they are not being managed. I think that would be more the right description of what happened. Now, the absence of NIDA NIDA officials at their own at their own project sites. So it's not just an administrative oversight. So one really have to think that this is a symptom of much deeper problems. And it suggests a disconnect between the agency headquarter and the actual work happening on the ground. So, and how can you manage what you don't monitor? So how can you manage something that you actually don't monitor? And how can you improve what you don't even oversee? So that's a problem. All right. So yeah, let's get into the story. So, so the problem runs much deeper than absentee, management, I think. So what we are seeing is a perfect storm, of institutional failure that would challenge even the most well-intentioned development agency. So if those things are not there, no matter how much this is well-intentioned, it will challenge that. So what we see here, there is an issue of inadequate human resources, from the article as well. So there's an issue of inadequate human resources. So you simply cannot run complex agro-processing project without sufficient qualified staff. So when government agencies are understaffed, the first casualty is always field supervision and project monitoring. So the work get done on paper. On the paper, the works are normally done. But when you go down, when you go on the ground, the reality on the ground tells a different story. You always get this report. This is done. This is ticked. Everything's in the box is actually ticked. But when you go to the ground, it tells a different story. So the second, we have a weak institutional, a capacity. This is not just about having enough people. Sometimes it's not just having enough people on the projects. It's about having the right system, processes, and capabilities to manage complex development projects. So agro processing facilities require, in many cases, we require a technical expertise. You require market knowledge. So you must be able to understand the market. It requires also community engagement skills. You must have some community engagement skills. And of course, then ongoing maintenance capabilities. So like in this case, it has been really a problem. So, and I think without this institutional strength, you know, if that institution doesn't have these strengths, even the best funded project, actually will struggle without those institutional strength. So, and thirdly, perhaps most critically, there is poor coordination between government, and government agencies. So in Namibia's complex governance structure, if you can put it that way, projects often fall under multiple ministries and agencies. So NIDA, for example, it itself reports to two different ministries. So creating now what expert call dual supervision challenges. Excuse me. So now when nobody is clearly in charge, everybody assumes someone else is handling the details. You know that stories of a job was given to someone and no one end up doing it or something like that. I can't remember exactly now. How does it go? It's exactly that. When nobody's really clearly in charge, so everybody now assumes that, you know, someone else is actually handling that task or something like that. So, and remember, please, we're following a story in today's edition, of The Villager. And please make sure that you subscribe to get your own copy of The Villager. Or what you need is just, send your WhatsApp, a WhatsApp message and a WhatsApp message with your number and email to 081-241-44. So that you can read this story by Dwight Lynch for yourself. So in more detail and analyze that yourself as well. Yeah. So now let's talk the number for a moment. Okay. When the committee describes great wastage of taxpayer money, so they are not being, they're not being dramatic. They are being precise. So now every abandoned facility, as we said earlier, every abandoned facility represent not just the initial construction cost. So, because there is a cost that went into building that facility. So, but also remember now when it's abandoned, it's also a lost opportunity cost. That opportunity lost, it's also costing us. If that makes sense. It does. That opportunity lost, it's also costing us. Because this could have been job creation, isn't it? It could have been job creation. It could have been income generating asset for the rural communities where this processing facility is actually situated. So, but the real cost goes beyond money. Okay? You also have to think that the real cost also goes beyond money when development projects fail repeatedly. Oh my goodness. So when development projects fail, fail repeatedly. So what they do is also that, remember when people start to have that lack of trust in government institutions. You know, when you go to the hospital three times or four times and there's no medications, the next thing what you do is that, I'm not going to go. You don't go there even anymore. You don't, even when you feel sick, you don't go there anymore because you know, people actually erode public, their trust in the public, and the government institutions, become less and less when this is actually, and it's the same thing when development projects fail, repeatedly over and over. So, people now have less trust in government institution. So community that were promised economic opportunity through these facilities are left abandoned. Young people who might have found employment in agro-processing continue to, of course then, because these are in the rural, they will continue to migrate to cities, perpetuating that, rural-urban inequalities. So you see, that's why I said it costs, there's that opportunity. There is that also that lost opportunity cost. Much bigger. If we look at that in terms of job, there could have been a job created. There could have been income generated. This could have been income generating asset, in the rural communities. That, and we also lost something more. People don't have trust anymore in those public government institutions. the public trust in those government institution erode. So there's so much that actually get lost. Now, consider now the broader economic implications. Okay, Namibia's agricultural sector account for at least 23% of total direct employment. So when now agro-processing facility fail, they don't just waste money. They perpetuate the country's dependence on agricultural imports. And as we said earlier, it means opportunities for the value addition, which actually the president is advocating at talking about. So it means opportunity for value addition that could create jobs and generate foreign exchange. So that's how crucial this is. Sometimes we just look at what this institution and we need to understand how this actually, the abandonment of that, the failure of that, the impact that it has on the communities. It's actually massive. And sometimes we don't go deeper into those details to understand how this actually affect the communities and our economy and local economy. So it's meant to uplift that local economy. And then what happens? As I said, other issues can be now emerge from the failure of that. Like now, young people who had been actually should be in that rural community working on that facility. Now probably they migrate now to cities, to Wintu, to Wavish Bay, to Swakopmund, you know, to bigger cities. So creating again, not only rural urban inequalities, but also then informal settlement. So this, there's a lot that comes out of that, just the failure of that. So, and now here's something that should concern every taxpayer. All right. So how do you know if a project is succeeding if you are not properly monitoring it? How do you know? So the Parliament Committee identified weak monitoring and evaluation mechanism as a core problem, and this deserve a serious attention. So in their soup, they were doing their actually, you know, monitoring and evaluation, but the organizations that actually are responsible for the implementation of these are not doing exactly that. So effective monitoring is not just about, you know, maybe ticking on boxes or just checking box on the form. It's about continuous assessing whether projects are achieving their intended outcomes, whether communities are benefiting as planned, and whether adjustment needed to be made. These are just simple things. And without strong monitoring system, project managers are essentially flying blind. So the absence of a proper evaluation, as the committee have identified, a proper evaluation mechanism means that when projects fail, we don't learn from those failures. So because you don't even know why we have failed, because there are no mechanisms of evaluating that. So we repeat the same mistake in a new location. So what we do then, we go to another location, we repeat the same mistakes, wasting more money and disappointing more communities. It is a vicious circle, as they say. It's a vicious circle that can only be broken through systemic monitoring and honest evaluation. It will be the same, and that this, because we haven't learned from the first project. because there were no monitoring mechanism to evaluate that. So now let's move to the elephant. Let's address the elephant in the room, as many people would love to refer to some issues. Now, the governance structure. So NIDA operate, as I said earlier on, operate under what is called a hybrid governance model. Now, reporting to both the Ministry of Finance and Public Enterprises, that now, when this actually, the visit was done, is still under the old administration, and the Ministry of Trade, of Industrialization and Trade. So now, while this might seem like a comprehensive, when you now think of that, it's kind of like there's a comprehensive oversight, you know, in practice. So it often creates confusion, some said, and about accountability. So because each one thinks the other one would take that responsibility. Now, the recent ministry, now if we can move now into where we are now, the recent ministry restructuring has added another layer, if you like, of complexity. So the former Ministry of Industrialization and Trade has been split, with industrialization moving now to the Ministry of Industries and Mines and Energy. So, and while the trade function went to international relations. Yeah. So now this reorganization means that someone need to clearly define who is responsible for what is NIDA's oversight. It has to be clearly defined, because it's just create another, as I said, another layer of complexity. It doesn't make it different, doesn't make it easier from how it was operating in from the previous administrations. So the parliamentary committee, the parliamentary committee's recommendation to integrate, NIDA as a department within a single ministry, I think that makes a sense. That makes a sense. That makes sense from, if you think about that from an accountability perspective, it does make a lot of sense. So, when agency report to a multiple masters, you know, when they report to multiple masters, it's easy for important issues to fall through the cracks. So, and the other suggestion they make, one of the most compelling recommendation from the committee involves giving regional council a greater responsibility for monitoring projects within their jurisdictions. So, and that makes a lot of sense. That makes a perfect sense when you think about it. It does make a lot of sense because regional councils understand local conditions, having an ongoing relationship with communities and have a vested interest in ensuring projects succeeded. So actually that make a hell of sense. So currently these councils often find themselves hosting this project. They didn't design, and they can't influence. So they are just spectators. Maybe they are invited to go, but they don't even ask questions. You know. So now, by giving them really a formal monitoring and evaluation responsibility, we could create a more responsive and accountable system. I definitely see that. And local officials would have both the authority and the responsibility to ensure projects serve their intended purpose. That would have local people being able to do that. So now, so where does this leave us, my dear listeners? The story of NIDA's agro-processing projects is more than just, what do they say? A tale is. It's more than a story of mismanagement. I would see it as if it's a case study in how good intentions. And this is very important. How good intention. And sometimes the government have good intention in creating agencies like NIDA, and about the projects that they want to do. It's a case study in how good intentions can go wrong without proper systems and accountability. And we see it here. The parliamentary committee have found out. Okay. And if you want to know more, go to the report of this parliamentary committee. So now we have to think about, the money that we pump into the agricultural sector. So, or infrastructure. We have about 561 million investment, which announced for agricultural infrastructure. And that could transform Namibia's food security and our rural economy. That's a massive money. So the agro processing facilities across all 14 regions could create thousands of jobs and additional value to our agricultural output. So, but only if we learn from our past mistakes. Only if we learn from our past mistakes. So if we just do, like, if we follow this mechanism or this kind of practice, definitely we go to another location, we do the very same thing. And of course, what do you expect? Exactly the same thing. All right. Let's get here what this caller have to say. A very good morning to you. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, that's Michael.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm all right, man. How are you, Mandume?
I'm all right, my brother.
So how's Windhoek? Getting warmer?
Cold every day.
For some reason on our side, cold in the morning, but during the day it's quite hot.
Yeah, it's the same. Oh. The same what is happening in Windhoek. Mornings really very, very cold.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the evenings.
But during the day, yo, it's like, I don't know.
I'm kind of missing those freezing cold, you know. I studied in Pretoria.
Yeah.
Around Johannesburg. I can tell you when the degree is just about 4 or 2, it doesn't even have to go to menace. Just, you have those cold that goes into your bone. Right in the bone. And even if you have a heater that you just put next to your
your bed,
I tell you, it doesn't improve anything.
Really?
It's terrible cold. I hated the place.
So you guys are in the same weather like those one in the UK.
Actually, those one is even better, I must say it, because those one, they having warming systems. Normally, you don't really feel it much. But this was, you know, when you just come from Namibia, your weather was this nice and all that.
Yeah.
And you end up there, it bends, my friend. You're welcome. Yeah.
Yeah. My brother, I think maybe let us start with our lady first.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's just a suggestion or something. You know, ne, the radio, up to now, the frequency, I don't know what's really happening, but if there's something ready.
So our management are listening and they know what is the problem is. Okay.
Yeah. Seriously, because I'm a listener and the, what one of the contributions always in this radio.
Yeah.
I think, what about if even they engage with a pastor, what the one who advertising in your radio, Paratus?
Paratus, yeah.
Telecom, yeah. And then maybe as a listener who always come through, because I'm not only one, we are a lot. Instead, maybe they can come even with a phone where the radio, Eagle FM is already installed. Then we can even contribute like monthly, maybe 500. Because we're waiting, remember, some of us, we are spending more, I think I spend more than 300 if I count, with this NGC. And I don't get anything.
Now you're kind of like saying, you're kind of like, you guys, this is money problems, you know.
We are giving our money to NTC without any return.
It could be other technical issues, you know.
But the thing is that, because most of us, we are listening to you only for the what?
We understand.
And it required that for you to budget even status. And some of us, because sometimes we have subject on that, the gadget which we are using. Yes.
We understand that because that's a tool we have at this point in time, and we have to make use of that until whatever being sorted out. So that's the tool we have now. Those are our tools that we have. We have the website and we have the app, and we have to make sure that if you want to continue listening, so at least for now, use those instruments.
Yeah, but seriously, for me, almost a month.
Yeah, actually, 3 months. Yeah.
So it's really lifting a lot of people out. Seriously.
We understand. We honestly understand. You know.
And then remember, there's always a new person start listening to the radio. Now you are in for almost a month without, you know.
Yeah. So there must be something very, very, very serious. Otherwise we wouldn't have taken that road. So, there must be something that still being, probably sorted out. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me go to the topic now.
Yeah.
Other positions. And you know, the thing is what I'm saying in our country is always having a nice plan to come up with anything, policies. We always having good policy, but to implement just one. The implement is the problem. It's always come to the final stage. To who's really going to push that project to go further or ahead? Is that
normally there are people like leaders that we're talking about, and it has failed terribly. You know,
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
That's why I'm even now, Nemes, talking about the good things, intentions. You have a good intention and so on.
Yeah,
but people already lost trust because this is what is been happening for 55 years. It's what the people know, that they can come up with anything and lay down. You don't see them. What you are going to see? They are flying to America, UK, and so on.
Yeah,
what they usually do, and they will tell you foreign direct investments, and those foreign direct investments coming to invest in our country. They are coming with what? Super guru. With the thing is, we can be done locally.
Yeah.
And now, the thing is that when you are talking about the agro-processing, it's a good intention. And we know exactly if, like the way they are saying, they are going to put on the 14 regions.
Yeah.
This is a good intention. And if we are having a couple of leaders like
And we have the money. It's just that the money are probably sometimes misused and mismanaged. Yeah.
I'm telling you, it always comes to the person who's having the resource.
Yeah.
And who's channeling it to his what? Cousin who doesn't know nothing. Yeah. It's always like that. That's what I'm saying. Even in, look, like now we have a problem with the road in Windhoek. And the city of Windhoek, they are busy fixing only in the what? In the suburbs. And they leave out the Katutola, the old Katutola.
Yeah.
But there was a kids who are trying to even volunteer themselves, volunteering to fix the pothole in Windhoek.
Yeah.
I'm saying, why is people off Windhoek if they cannot just allocate every, what I can, Katutora, everywhere, like maybe Vanaenda, those people, I mean, why do those people who are living there, who are willing to come, to at least to get something?
Mm.
And you, as a city of Windhoek, you just have a human resource there. Who's writing those names? People who are turning up, going to do the job. Because now what I see...
We have a quick ad coming up, eh? Just hold on and then we can continue later. Yeah.
All right. Mm.
Do you urgently need cash and happen to own a car? Creditors delaying and contractors need to be paid? When life throws you a rainy day, AutoCash got your back. Park your car and get up to 45% of its value within 45 minutes. No payslip, no bank statement, just the car. Moolah when you need it.
Easy money.
Call us today on 061-400-676. That is 061-400-676. AutoCash, it's that simple.
All right.
So, yeah, so little divert for you, but I will come back quickly to our topic.
Yeah.
It's just like our child, see, is that they are trying to give it to friend and cousin and so on.
Yeah.
These tenders, which they are, at the end of the day, you see, they are you're going to use a lot of millions. But that million is not going to do what? To the people, because it's going to the individual who are giving. And they are not even what, going to hire the equipment even. Look what I see even if you come to four way, my friend. This guy is a joke.
Mm.
I'm telling you, the one who's doing that four way, just imagine a tire road, but it's using a mingle. A mix, my friend, which you, sometimes if you are building even a big house, we don't use any more this mix. We go for the big truck, concrete truck, to come and pull the wall. But it's like even building maybe a toilet.
Yeah.
Come on. But it's a business at the end of the day, you hear that it's using what? Even 20 million. Just that kind of small portion of road.
Mm.
But it's using...
I think I have a second story actually on that.
I'm telling you, it's really sad, my friend. I saw it and like, if these people are serious, why they cannot just remove
it? Because I heard the people who volunteered in like, what is that street actually? Evelyn Street?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And they were actually doing better job than those who were contracted.
And this is why we're doing it now. I'm telling you. It's what I'm telling you with that. No, my friend, it's a hard time to do the right thing. You write the people there, then you start paying them through yourself, not with a middleman.
Yeah.
Because what we see there, this middleman, I'm telling you just to hire even the tools from Windhoek, anyway. There's a lot of companies which are hiring tools. I'm telling you, the guys, they are using wheelbarrow, they are using leg to pull the tire. Just imagine.
Mm.
Huh? How on earth? At the end of the day, we see these guys are getting millions. What they are doing, let me tell you now. If you are putting a tire road with a leg and elbow, what about the truck which are going to turn in, overloaded? It's not going to remove that service.
Yeah.
It's a problem I think we have in our country.
Yeah, no, we will get to that story. I have that story as a second item. Yeah.
Okay, my brother.
Yeah,
okay,
let me talk
to the agro-position. You see, all of us, we are having like different things which are supposed to be done. Which, let me say, if you like Kavango, they are having Kavango and Zambezi, they are having mango.
Yeah.
And those mango are getting a lot in there. Without Oshkango getting any portion of that. You see, it's just a matter of what? Us to process what is the other region having and the other region they don't have. You see?
Yeah.
Up to now, those mango is are getting rotten there. At the end of the day, we don't even have a factory to produce juice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? We are not.
But do you know the one of the biggest, I think something, one of the biggest costs, a real cost that as I said earlier on, that go beyond money, is the cost of opportunity lost.
Very much.
Because, you know, the agro-processing facility is actually abandoned or it failed, what it means that there's a missed opportunity of job creation that has been missed, of also creating employment in that area, maybe reducing the agricultural imports in our country, generating foreign exchange. There's so much that has been lost. And sometimes these things are just left, it's abandoned there and nobody even questioned that.
Look even what happened to the cater of the government. It was reported in the newspaper. I think it was somewhere, those cattle are somewhere in the side of either of my region.
Yeah.
And what happened there, the people who used to look after the cattle, they left because they are not paid. Just imagine.
Yeah.
Instead of just somebody from Windhoek here to go there to investigate, fire the head of the department who was there. Because now the cattle, they have to die for festive.
Mm.
Some they are stolen, some they are what. Up to now, no, we never heard the feedback what happened. If somebody was responsible for that, it's been heard for accountability. Nothing. It's always like a government thing. That's why you see today the window is broken for the flat of the government, maybe somewhere. But people are waiting, they are waiting for Minister of Worker to come and do it.
Yeah.
But there are people who are living there.
Yeah, the whole thing is that you have too many cooks in the kitchen.
No, man. Sometimes we just have to be a human being.
Yeah.
We don't need, sometimes we can use, this pretty case when a window is broken. You just go and buy, you keep it a receipt as a proof of payment.
Yeah.
And then somebody who's going to do accountability, they already know that yes, you went to buy the window or the door. Now you are putting you wait until all the door are broken, so you're going to put it on tender. Yeah. Or you put a door on tender, how much is it going to cost? Just because we don't want those board members to come in to give the tender for the door which is broken.
Yeah. I think the idea of giving the regional councillor, the regional councils, a greater responsibility for monitoring projects. That's actually a good idea.
This is what I'm saying. This country is, we are the mess of our own.
Mm.
Because you cannot tell me all these things, wherever something been done in, let them say now, Angela Hospital, they're able to wait until the window corresponds. What about all the people who are living there, who are supposed to be administrating the what?
Yeah, same government.
All those things. It's not supposed to be done local.
Mm.
Even the door is supposed to be there to be buyed in local store. So you can empower the people who are living there. Now we wait everything to be done in window. Window, they process it, everything, then they send their money to South Africa. All the material comes from South Africa. At the end of the day, you want these people to grow who are having business in the local. But how they are going to grow if everything is able to be done in window? And it takes time even. The moment they're waiting for this door to be fixed, it will be more 5-year door which are broken again. And they have to wait for 6 months.
Yeah, no, from 2030, I will also run for president.
And, no. I think we must have our own. Seriously, we cannot just around the bush because we know our problem and the people, they also know
I would only probably have 10 ministers, or I mean 10 ministries. The rest, the money goes to the region, the government. Yeah. You strengthen the regional government, you know.
Exactly, it's supposed to be like
so
that.
So they come with their own budget. So they are responsible for their own development.
Own development, everything. We know that exactly if we give it this money, why we didn't develop it? Why the people have to travel?
Why do I have to pay some people sitting in Windhoek?
For
a project that is in Oshana.
In Oshana, eh? Money goes straight to that.
You strengthen the governance, they become more important, and they manage, you know, their own affairs, and their money get into their region directly to the people.
Remember one thing, that the governor, they are supposed to be eye of the government, but again, the governor, they become a pocket of what position in Windhoek, because they have been appointed by them. Governor, they're supposed to be appointed through the council. They know that you are competent. Yes, like a councillor, always we are complaining. They say, no, it's a hard time people to remember that Mopetami cannot just be a councillor for those years. What about him to be a governor, or to give him one of the portfolio as a minister? Because we know he's capable.
Yeah.
But seriously, the man that's a council, no. These are people who are capable. Yeah. When are we going to give him a chance?
Yeah, sometimes it's different. Sometimes you have a teacher who is really good with students, and you made him a principal. You know, because he was a people's teacher. You know, who's much closer to student, know how to play with system. Now you give him administration. You know, it's something he's really suck at it. But people are very good at that, because, you know, they that's where their passion is.
But sometimes I think, Mike, it's just a way of mentoring people also.
Yeah.
Because for us in this country, I don't think we have that stage of what, like the way our forefather used to do. Like, if my father is a village traditional leader,
yeah,
then he's grooming somebody always across to him. He watch all movement, whatever the people are saying, he know exactly when he's there. If this person or is old, no more functioning, he take over.
Yeah.
We don't have that in our country. We don't have that. We have almost people similar, like maybe let them say Job and Pan. But you see what they are doing to him?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why we can say those are people who are women. Job and Pan, those are the people we see, they've been given a chance. But, I mean, Longarole has been given a chance. But look, even the way he was like a humble person.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if it was like me, people were frustrating at time. I cannot wait.
Yeah.
I'm having my degree and whatever. Why should I go for around just to be nice to dead people?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a thing which I'm telling frustrating our people. And the same as agronomic is a good intention. Let us make it work.
Mm. Especially for each reason that they put up a facility. That's a brilliant idea. But
exactly. Let us have our president have that capability of Abraham Traore.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, this country will fly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the people across to him as a brief, as long as they put a security, because we know she's capable. The way they are talking, I even read the moment when they are talking with the president of Botswana.
Yeah.
And you know, this is a young man, and we've been also, I'm been observing that president. He's one of like Julius Malema. He's vocal. And when he's mean it, he means business. It's a hard time, my friend. We always saying, no, Transnami be supported already to channel the whole country. So wherever the things supposed to be transported, the Transnami be supposed to be there.
Yeah.
But now you see they are coming off Transkarari. But most of the people are going to benefit are Botswana people, because much of us, we don't have much to get from Botswana. The cows we need to get from them. you know, the Namibian government, they come up with what environment tax. Now you are paying more than what you buy the car.
Yeah, but it's okay. Yeah.
And what they did, they bring what Janja Pan do. It's okay, Mike.
All right.
Let me wait for you a second.
Definitely. Yeah, the taxi, the road thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank
all right.
You.
Oh, no, thank you for coming through. Yeah.
All right.
Okay, great. Yeah, that's where we are. So we're talking about the report from this is actually article in today's edition for the villagers, a story by Dwight Lynch about this agro processing project that's been managed by by NIDA, and when the committee, the parliamentary committee, actually visited some of these projects, well, it was actually very disappointing. Yeah. So the key lesson are very clear from the report and from the article itself. First, you cannot manage what you do not monitor. That's very clear. Secondly, complex project requires adequate human resources and institutional capacity. If no matter how well intentioned and you don't have, you know, adequate human resources and institutional capacity, definitely that doesn't go anywhere. So thirdly, clear accountability, structure are essential, as we have seen. You know, too many supervisors can be worse than too few, you know. Yeah. And four, local ownership, as we're talking about, as the recommendation of regional councils. So local ownership and oversight create a better outcomes, than a distant management. So the parliament committee, recommendation provide a roadmap for improvement, but implementation will require, I think it will require really a political will and sustained commitment. And the new ministry structure offers an opportunity for fresh start and a clearer, accountability lines. So, that you don't repeat the same things, from the previous one. So what we have seen is that every abandoned agro-processing facilities represent not just wasted money. I think that's, we should be, you know, think. It's not just about wasted money, but wasted potential. A really wasted potential. Namibia has the natural resources, the growing conditions, and the human talent to become the regional, agro-processing hub as it within our Vision 2030 is, you know, plan. What we need now is the management competence, whether it's an agency, whether it's an individual, an institutional system, to turn potential into reality. That's what we need. That's what we need. Competency that really turn that potential into reality. So, because we have, All the tools and everything that we need to succeed. So now the question is not whether Namibia can succeed in agro processing. It's whether we will learn from our mistakes quickly enough to make the most of the future opportunities. So, can we learn quick enough to make the most of the future opportunities? So the answer to that question will determine whether the next 561 million investment becomes a success story or another cautionary, you know, a story or a tale. All right. So the challenges facing Namibia's state-run agro-processing projects reflect a broader institutional weakness that must be really addressed for the country industrialization agenda to succeed. While the vision of reducing agricultural import by 80% and creating rural employment through agro-processing remains sound, the execution really requires a fundamental reform in governance, in monitoring, as we have seen with NIDA, and accountability structures. So when it comes to who is responsible for oversight, so the Parliament Committee's findings serve as a, it serves as a wake-up call, a wake-up call that good intention alone are not are insufficient. Good intention alone, and that goes with the whole administrations. There could be good intention of many of the dreams and priorities, but successful development requires competent management, adequate resources, and strong oversight mechanism at every level of implementations. I think that's what we can learn from this report and from this article in today's edition of The Villager. So please pick up your copy. By doing that, you can only do that by subscribing and send a WhatsApp message with your number and your name and your email to 081-200-40-41-44. Then you will receive your digital copy every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. All right. So when we come back, we get into our Katutura residents, decrying inequality in a road repair. So that's our second item when we come back.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Back your preconceptions of technology. Explore the apps that are redefining the future. Out with the old and in with the new. From carrying physical hard copy hymn books to the world of digital hymn book versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymn book in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved Imba that brings together various hymn books under one app. Here to unite a nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymn books on Imba app are The Elsi Nehangano, Leo Sherero Omaimburiro, The Catholics Imane Kakarunga, The Afrikaans Sing Voor Diere, and many more. Contact us today if you'd like for your church hymn book to be added onto the list of Imba hymn books. 081-235-8063. You can also email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Download and discover Imba today. You can find it on the App Store as well as the Google Play Store.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, if you're just joining us, this is Eagle FM, and you are on Unpacking the Day. Yeah, so I think Mandume was just alluding to this story. This is actually a story that hitting closer to home for thousands of Windhoek residents. It's actually a story in the Windhoek Observer by Alexia Namjebo, and it's a story of broken promises, literally broken roads, literally broken roads, and a city administration that seems to be stuck in a circle of quick fixes that are not really fixing anything at all. So we are talking about the mounting crisis in Katutura's road infrastructure, where residents are crying foul over what they see as substandard repairs and blatant inequality in service delivery. Now, so let me get you into the experience itself. So you are driving through Katutura after recent rains, navigating what should be a repaired road, you know, but instead you are dodging what looks like repairs, but feel like a minefield of hazards, you know, when don't go in there, you know, there are some hazards, devices that are there. So, yeah, you kind of like, you're actually going around because you feel like, you know, there are minefield there. This is a minefield of some hazard devices. So I think this story is not just, seriously, it's not just about potholes. It's about a fundamental breakdown in how our city approaches infrastructure development, infrastructure development and maintenance. And we're not only seeing it in Windhoek. I think we see it in even other smaller towns. If you talk about Ongwediva, you talk about, you know, Shakati, you talk about other places as well. Well, I'm talking where I am now, so I have seen probably the same similar things. Yeah, a few patches there, and then, you know, it's all over again, you know. So what we're seeing in Katutura represent a perfect storm of poor planning. First of all, the poor planning, inadequate resources, and what appear to be too tight in Windhoek, too tight system of service delivery that is leaving some community literally stuck in the mud, while others enjoy smooth sailing. You know, some are stuck in the mud while the other side of the city is smooth sailing. So the complaint coming out of these townships are not just about inconvenience. They are about economic justice. Eh? Economic justice. That's what we need to talk about economic justice. So urban planning failures also, that's also about urban planning failures and the very real human cost of municipal mismanagement. So the residents are reporting something particularly troubling. Repairs that disintegrate almost as quickly as they are completed. They finish about today, in 2 days, it's dismantled or disintegrated. So we're talking about road surface that can't withstand even basic weather conditions, let alone actually heavy rain that have become a regular features of our climate. So one has to look beyond poor, you have to look beyond the poor workmanship, and look at that this is really indicative. I think it's an indicative of a deeper systemic issues, you know, in how the city of Windhoek approaches infrastructure development. Now, so let's talk about the money. There are about 12 million for emergency road repairs. So the city has allocated about 15.2 million for emergency road repair following the recent rain. Well, that's quite a lot of money. That's quite a lot of money. But here's the critical question. You know, we need to ask. I think this is a critical question that we need to ask. So is this money being spent honestly, wisely? We talk about that, you know, sometimes as earlier on with, I think with Mandumi also, that sometimes the money is there to really do, to actually do the project properly. But the question is this money being spent wisely, or are we, watching public, fund disappear into what amounts to expensive temporary patches here and there and there, you know? So possibly that could be the case. So when residents report that their vehicles are being damaged by these so-called repairs, we are actually looking at a hidden tax on the very people these services are supposed to benefit. So think about it. Okay. I just think about this, you know, because families are paying twice. You know, you, the one who own, if you own the cars, you're paying twice. Once through their municipal taxes for road maintenance, and also again out of their own pocket, out of your own pocket for vehicle repairs caused by this substandard, municipal work. Yeah? You're being double charged. So, this is, you know, particularly devastating for low income household who can least afford these additional expenses. Now you have to pay your repairs for your cars just because of a failure, because of this substandard municipal work. You know, why always the poor are the one to suffer? Huh? Why? Why all the poor? Why always the poor, man? The pattern that is emerging really suggests, how would I call this? A false economy at work, if there's something like that. So the city appears to be choosing cheaper. This is now from the story. Quicker solution that create more problems down the line. So it's cheaper, it's quicker, but down the line, the problems emerges, ultimately costing both now municipality and also residents more money than proper repair or repairs would have actually cost in the first place. So it's a classic case. It's a classic case of what they say. They say penny wise but pound foolish. You know? Penny wise but pound foolish. So it is the resident who are being the real cost here. Yeah. So now I think perhaps the most damning aspect of this entire situation is what it reveals about inequality in Windhoek. Now, the complaint coming from Kataturra resident point to a troubling pattern. Okay. There's that pattern where better performing contractors seem to be assigned to rich areas, you know, to wealthy areas, like Klein Windhoek and House Bliss or those areas that those areas and while the township receives substandard service. So this is not just poor service delivery. It's a form of what is the word? It's a form of apartheid that perpetuates historically inequalities. It's another apartheid. So the irony is here. It's here. The irony here is particularly bitter. Areas that arguably need the most investment that arguably need the most investment in infrastructure, township like Kataturas. So, which also then, the Kataturas now housed large population with limited mobility options, so are receiving least effective interventions. They are the one who actually receiving least effective interventions. And while the areas with now with low population densities and residents who likely have better access to alternative transportation are getting the priority are the one that are getting a priority treatment. That's the question I'm asking. Why always the poor that have to bear the suffering, you know, have to bear the pain and, yeah? So the least, now in this case, what is more, the substandard service? Yeah, as I said, this patterns extend beyond just contractor assignment. The research shows us that when to peri-urban areas, where many of the city poor, women of the city poor reside, face systemic challenges. And this is not just about the road. You know, systemic challenges in accessing basic municipal services. The road crisis in Kataturas is just one manifestation of a broader failure to address the infrastructure, the infrastructure needs of the city's most vulnerable people, with host of other service municipal service that are lacking. There's also a question of regulatory framework that's supposed to govern all this. Now, the current system operate under the Road Ordinance of 1972. This is a piece of legislation that is older than most of our listeners. If it's 1972, I think it's older than most of our listeners. So, okay, that's how old it is. So, while there is a new road bill, I think in development, and how long as other bills as well, it takes years and years before that becomes an act. So, yeah. And that actually promises to strengthen the regulatory framework. The question remain: will the new legislations address the fundamental problems we are seeing in the ground? So now the existing ordinance establishes a clear, even the existing one is establishes a clear procedures for road construction and maintenance. So that includes specific standard for materials and also the method that is being used. But even with those specific instruction or construction procedures, what residents are experiencing suggest either these standards are not being followed or they are inadequate for current conditions. So now the fact that we have regulation on paper but chaos on the road, it points to fundamental implementation problem that the new legislation alone may not even solve. So if we see that. So what particularly concerning is that, the legislative framework seemed to have clear provision for road classification and maintenance standard. Yet we are seeing what amount to experimental road repairs technique being used in Catutura. So this suggests either, a willful disregard for established procedures. Either people just don't want to follow those established procedures, or a lack of capacity to implement them properly. So it could be also a lack of capacity to implement them properly, as we've seen that in the very same story that when, yeah, no, let me just explain this. So that as we see that where this is where now the story actually take almost a strange turn, where local youth in areas like Evelyn Street took it upon themselves to repair potholes and in their own street, and by all account, they were actually doing better. They were all doing better work than official contractors. So if they were doing better than official account, that's why I said when we're seeing what it looks like, experimental road repair techniques being used in Catutura, as I said, it either suggests that the people willfully regard the established procedure as according to the framework or regulatory framework or a lack of capacity to implement them properly. And we can see that if those who are now employed, the contractors, if the volunteers are doing a better job than the official contractors, then it's probably a lack of capacity to implement what is being proposed in those legal frameworks. So now, and well, think about the implication for a moment, okay, in terms of this. So we have a situation where community members with presumably limited resources and equipment are producing more durable repairs than professional contractor working with public funds. What does that say, my friend? Eh? These are people who actually the professional are working with public funds, and the volunteers are actually doing more durable work or repairs compared to, you know, it's money just fall into someone's pocket and decided, okay, let's just fill up with some sand and, you know, and put a top, which actually in two, 3 days, or when the rain comes back, same. It could be intentionally as well, because this will be always given to the very same company, you know, where other people have maybe shares and know that, you know, it's never done so that it's fixed. Next year again, it's money into your pocket. You know, it's exactly, you know, it's intentional. Could be intentional. This also, it tells you also that it also suggests that the problem is not necessarily technical complexity. It might be priorities, oversight, and accountability. Those could be the problem. If we know this person, people are hired, the contractor hired to do the job, and nobody actually looking at the materials and things that they use. So the city's response to this community effort, like in Evelyn Street, reveals really a troubling attitude towards citizens who want to participate in urban development. So instead of maybe recognizing and supporting effective community-led solutions, so the administration chose to maintain control over a process that clearly wasn't working. So this represents a missed opportunity for for a genuine, like what Mandima was saying, for a genuine partnership between citizen and government addressing infrastructure challenges, you could possibly now use the youth in that area actually to do the job in their own area. If there are initiatives like that actually providing a better solution than what even some of the contractors are actually doing. So, yeah, to really understand what's happening in Katutura, we need to zoom out and look at the bigger picture of urban development in Windhoek. So the academic research reveals that the city faces enormous pressure from population growth and urbanization. Now, with limited capacity to provide adequate infrastructure for all residents. So, well, the informal settlement on the city's periphery often lack basic services, and even formal township like Katutura struggles with infrastructure deficit. So now the context helps to explain, though it doesn't really excuse, it's not an excuse. Some of the challenges we are seeing, it shouldn't be an excuse to some of these challenges that we actually are seeing. So the city is operating under financial constraint, of course, dealing with the legacy of inequality, where it's come from that apartheid era. As I said, these are not excuse, and it's trying to manage rapid urban growth, and given also the trouble that we talked earlier in the first stories. However, these challenges make it even more critical that infrastructure investment be made, okay, wisely and equitably, okay? Not just, you know, the wealthy are the one who get the bigger portions of that, and then patches all around Katutura. So, transportation challenges faced by a resident in peri-urban areas definitely compound the road infrastructure problems. When people depend heavily on informal transport and walking long distances to access service, the quality of road infrastructure becomes a matter of basic accessibility and economic survival, not just a convenience anymore. So, yeah, there are other aspects to this, and I think that also helps us to get a bit in understanding of what the municipality of Windhoek how they are dealing with this issue. So, yeah, you can also read that. As I said, go deeper into that stories in Windhoek Observers. I think you find that stories in, and have yourself, understand deeper some of the issues that being highlighted there. All right, and that's actually bring us to the end of this episode of Unpacking the Day. And it's a new month. I hope that you have a really good weekend, that you rested and you're ready actually to face the new week in the new month. So, but well, continue to listen to Eagle FM, and continue to stay tuned to the programs that are coming up. And Mind the Gap is just at the corner, and then other programs will follow after that. For me, Mike Oshavelli, I wish you a pleasant day ahead and a good listening to your favorite station, Eagle FM. So it's a bye until tomorrow.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna I matina omjo. Chikao shafasa na nana nongeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongoti samwene. Anangeshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayaguro nirandisomwa yoe yongeshifa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa letu. Moambo lengera selma konara heta tuimu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano oni haj. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.